Appreciate that song. Appreciate that thought. Colossians chapter number 3. Aren't you glad God isn't like you?
Yeah.
And when something's broken, what do we do? We throw it away. God says, I can fix that. You know, so much of our stuff is made in China. Man, that thing breaks. It's just easier to get a new one. It's plastic. It's pre-molded. God can fix China stuff. That's where he's at. Colossians chapter number 3. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Say, Pastor, you pulled the wrong message. We are in Christmas time, not Thanksgiving. Well, it's God's will that we always be thankful. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See that in those two verses, verse 15 and 16, there was two things that God would desire inside of you. Number one is peace. Number two is word. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Hey, when the peace of God rules our hearts and the word of God inside of our heart, it's not hard to sing. That, why? That's a byproduct of just walking with the Lord. He's given us a new song. Isn't that what it says? Question is, have we made room for the Lord in our hearts? Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Starting in verse 1, came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The Bible says this because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for Lord, coming to this earth to establish a relationship with all mankind, personal, real, sincere. God, thank you for what this time of year we celebrate. We celebrate salvation coming to life. And God, I pray you'd help us. Help us as we navigate through this passage. Lord, help us to see ourselves in this passage. And God, if some way, somehow we have neglected to make room for you in our heart, Lord, we adjust that. Lord, help us to have your peace and your word inside. God, we need you, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Familiar passage. I remember hearing this read on do we call it Peanuts? Charlie Brown Christmas, right? Isn't this what they read? We like Charlie Brown. Like Charlie Brown at Christmas, because he reads Luke chapter number 2.
Yes, sir.
Thankful for the word of God. Here we're told the story, as I said in the bulletin this morning, Joseph and Mary find themselves, they live in Nazareth, but they got to go to Bethlehem. Say, they have to go to Bethlehem because of a tax. They had to go to Bethlehem because Micah said they would be born in Bethlehem. God just used Caesar, and then something, God used taxes to get Joseph and Mary where they ought to be. Yeah, maybe God uses taxes to get us where we ought to be. Where? Poor? No, I'm sorry. That was extra. That wasn't even in here. I didn't even say that. And there they go. I mean, I saw Seth this morning, and Kathy is a Bible term. Great with child. right? I mean, she's close, right? Liz, when she's due? When does she do? I think it's January, like middle of January. End of January. While they're here in this trip, she goes into delivery. So that means she was really close. That means, I mean, if you've ever traveled with a expecting woman, it's all about comfort. It's all about bathroom stops. It's all about that. Now imagine traveling back then. This was not an easy task. This was not a happy moment, may I say. I bet there was a little tension between Mary and Joseph, just inevitably. And then you get to the place where you thought you were going to be staying, and you knock on the inn's door and say, hey, we're here. We made a reservation, we booked it through, you know, Travelocity, and here we are. And they're like, I'm sorry, we have no record of your reservation. Ever go on a vacation and they say that to you? Those are chilling words. We've had conferences here. I remember Pastor Huber and I, when we were getting ready for one of our missions conferences, there was something going on in the college. There was only one hotel at the time in town, in the metroplex of Brockport, and there was no Hampton Inn at that time. So we called the hotel. We're like, yeah, we'd like to book our rooms for our missions conference. They said, I'm sorry, those dates, we have no rooms available. Well, what are we supposed to do? Go somewhere else. They didn't. So we had to find bed and breakfast. And remember, we were over at Adams Basin. They liked it, but it was a little more expensive. But, you know. So what do you do when here you are, Mary, Joseph? Mary's starting to feel those every now and then a little, hey, this is getting close sensation. Knocking on the inn's door, and the innkeeper says, I'm sorry, there's no room. Where do they end up? They end up in a manger, in a stable, where they keep animals. A spot that maybe should have been reserved for Mary, Joseph, and Jesus was taken by somebody else. You know, when we think about that thought, I wonder if the Lord is kind of knocking at our door. Hey, you got room for me in there? I'm sorry, no vacancies. Why would people have no room for Christ? I mean, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm sorry, no room. A little while ago, Victor, you were doing some traveling. Victor's entire flight got canceled and postponed because the president was at the airport and they just rerouted everybody around. Why? Because the president. Well, what about Victor? He was late because the president showed up. Sorry for the inconvenience to you, but someone, no offense, Victor, more important, higher up. Is that right? Is that what happened? Yes. I feel like reading this passage, shouldn't have everybody else been inconvenienced? The Messiah of the world, the Savior of the world was coming. I'm sorry, there's no room. Today, that's no different. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to come and have a real relationship with you, come in fellowship with you and dwell with you. And here's some reasons that people have no room for Jesus. Number one, I think it's maybe just not malice, meaning not wrongdoing, not premeditated, hey, I'm going to kick this guy out. It's just ignorant. They don't know any better. Right. Hey, the innkeeper that day, had they known that the glory of God himself was going to be born that day, he would have made arrangements. But he just didn't know. When Mary and Joseph showed up, he'd never heard of Mary and Joseph. He didn't know about Gabriel. He didn't know about the announcement. He didn't know about Isaiah. He didn't know about Psalms. He didn't know that the Messiah was coming. He didn't know to make room. And I think a lot of people these days, why wouldn't you accept Christ? Why wouldn't you let Christ come into your heart? They just don't know. They don't know what's knocking at their heart's door. They didn't know that there's a God that loves them. Go with me to John chapter number 1 in verse 12. They just don't know. They don't know that God loves them. They don't know that as many, in John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They don't know about that. They don't know that they have an opportunity to be a child of God. No one's ever told them. See, what happens with a society that don't know about Jesus? What happens to a world where they've never heard about Christ? I want to read you a couple staggering statistics. Not to bring light or to speak of evil, but to just let you know the effects of when people don't know Christ. Nearly 800,000 people die by suicide in this world each year. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the world for ages 15 to 24. Why would you do that? Because they don't know. They don't know that they're a child of God. They don't know that someone loves them and cares for them. They don't know that there's a better way. In the U.S., the annual age adjusted suicide rate is 13.42 per 100,000. That's way too many. Males die at a suicide rate 3.5 times more than females. And on average, in the U.S., 132 people take their own life every single day. They don't know that there's a better way. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. What happens if they did know a better way? Look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Why is that even an option? Because there's been no room made for Jesus in their life. They just didn't know. They didn't know. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Aren't you glad there's someone in the group that kind of raised their hand and said, can you review that lesson? I didn't quite get that on the whiteboard there. Jesus looks at him plainly and says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, why would a person not make room for Christ? Just because, number one, they don't know. They've not been given the information. They don't know that there's a God who is at their heart's door looking for room. So what do we do? Well, Acts 1:8 tells us to be witnesses. The last thing Christ told us to do is to be witnesses for him throughout the entire world. So what are we to do? We're to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May our neighborhoods, our friends, our family not be able to say, I didn't know. Right. That day when Mary and Joseph and, you know, Mary shows up, why wouldn't the innkeeper let her in? Why did he have to suggest? I think there's room at the local barn. Why was that even a suggestion? Because he didn't know who was standing before him. Was Mary divine? No, but the one inside was. Number one, just an ignorance, a lack of information. Number two, Jeremiah chapter 14. Why wouldn't people make room for Christ? Jeremiah chapter number 14. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto me, speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 14, 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Why do people have no room for Christ? Number one, they're just ignorant, they don't know. Number two, they've been lied to. They've been deceived. Not all prophets are Bible truth prophets. Mr. Parrott, Sunday school class, we were talking about the dangers of media, and we also talked about the powerful and beneficial tool that it could be. And hey, you could hear some really good preaching, preferably not like Sunday morning at like 11 o'clock. Don't stay home. I understand that I don't have a YouTube channel or something like that, and there's a reason, I guess. But I do invite you to come to your local church. If you want on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday morning, watch other great orders, great. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about people that lie and deceive. Why would you not make room for Jesus? Because you've been lied to. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. People that are lied to don't know that they've been lied to. People that are deceived don't know that they've been deceived. They're taking action on what they think is truth. That's why our world is so turned upside down right now. Why? Because someone's lied to them and they're acting on it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. What's a fable? It's a made-up story. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Why would someone not make room for Christ in their heart? Number one, they just don't know. They need someone to tell them. They need someone to say, hey, listen, imagine if John the Baptist was at the door that day and the innkeeper closes the door. I'm sorry, we have no room. Boom. I just feel like John the Baptist would not be satisfied with that. Yeah. Boom. Let me tell you who's coming. They just didn't know. Say, where was John the Baptist? He was just a little guy. He was just like 6 months older than Christ. Just a few months. His cousin. Matthew chapter number 7. In verse 15, beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Hey, why wouldn't someone make room for Christ? Because they've been lied to. Someone has told them something contrary to the word of God. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. That's speaking of false prophets there. Hey, you'll know a false prophet. Why wouldn't people allow room for Christ? Because they've been lied to. There's many of false religions out here. Say, how do you sum up all religions? Well, I'll tell you this. Outside of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, every religion is false. Now, if you want to put Christianity in the category of religion, I understand what you're saying, but it's much more than a religion. It's a real relationship. It's real. It's genuine. And every single other religion of this world comes down to this. Works. 100%. Every single false religion, Satan has a thought. He works with the pride of men. Somehow you can earn salvation. And man would much rather earn salvation than receive the gift of salvation. Because I want to feel like I did something about it. And every religion will tell you the exact same thing. It is some combination of works that is necessary to earn eternal life. Titus chapter number 3. Why wouldn't people make room for Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because they don't need him. I'm getting to heaven on my own. I'm doing it as the deceitful singer said, my way. You fool. There's one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Titus chapter number 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing, the regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Someone's lied to you. If you believe that you can do enough good to get to heaven, it removes the need for Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. And that's what every religion will tell you. Oh, you're something. You can get yourself there. Whether it's Catholicism or Hinduism or whatever ism you want to call it, it's all about your works. I'm sorry, you've been deceived. You've been lied to. I don't blame the person that's been lied to for acting on it, but it doesn't make it right. There's many a sincere people. You go down to the Rochester Public Market, and there'll be two finely dressed people standing with a little information rack. Awake, watchtower, the kingdom of God is here. And they sure would love. Are they lying to you? No, they've been lied to and are acting on it. And they're going to tell you, you need to. Why do they stand there? They stand there because they believe their works will get them to heaven. Why not make room for Christ? Because many a people have been deceived. Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter number 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. I don't have to shed my blood. Blood has already been shed. Amen. It's only through Christ. If someone is telling you that you've got to go through this man or this ritual to get to Jesus and find the Lord, you've been lied to. Now, and if you believe those things, I'm sorry, but this is what the Scripture says. I think many a good people have been lied to and have shut the door to Christ coming inside their heart because of deception. Last verse on this, Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The unfortunate part of this is that people can try and earn their salvation, but you will always come up lacking. Many will spend an eternity, a lifetime, if you will, trying to be good enough, only at the end to find out that man's righteousness never takes away their sin. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way to find forgiveness, according to the riches of His grace. What is grace? Just a gift. I'd rather earn it. You can't. I'm sorry you've been deceived. Christ wants to come into your heart. I'm sorry, I have no room. Why? Because number one, maybe they didn't even know who Jesus was. Number two, maybe they've been deceived into thinking that somehow they don't need Christ. Number three, Mark chapter number 10. So how many of these do you have? Four. And we're almost, the second half is much shorter. Reasons people have no room for Christ. Number three. Mark chapter number 10, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Sounds like a good start of a relationship with the Lord. Ran to Christ and kneeled before him. And asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Another great question, right? You went to the right place. I remember a couple years ago, our vacation Bible school. How many of you know what our vacation Bible school does, right? We have a penny contest. In that penny contest, we get, pennies, change, loose change, coins. You're familiar with coins? Yes. All right. So where do you take money? Take it to the bank, right? Isn't that what you do? Well, I went to the bank and I brought all our change. They didn't want it. Now, that's kind of strange because that's what you do here. Where else would I deposit my change? Well, we're going to have to roll it. We're going to have to do all this kind of stuff. We're going to have to count it. It's strange going to the bank with your money to deposit, and they said no. It'd be different if I showed up with, like, a case of muffins and said, "Hey, can I put this inside my account? But I'm bringing money." Say, "What'd you do?" "Well, we figured it out." Man comes to Jesus and says, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Hey, buddy, you went to the right source. If you're going to ask that question, the author of eternal life is an excellent source to ask that question. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him this lie, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Ever lie to yourself? I'm good enough. God is love. And I'm going to stand before him one day, and just because of God's character, he'll let me in. No. That's what this young, rich young ruler was thinking. He thought he could do enough. I love this next verse. Then Jesus, beholding him, doesn't say despising him, does it? What does it say? Loved him. Hey, sometimes hard sayings come from those that we love. I say this often. Because of love, we do say hard things sometimes. Why? Because I love you, and I don't want to see you get hurt. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." This young man came running to Jesus, kneeled at his feet and said, "Master, what must I do?" He's at the inn's door. And Christ says, "All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get rid of all your stuff and come follow me." And the Bible says in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What would keep someone from allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart? Their stuff. Their stuff. Materialism. I am all set. Hey, if you think that your possessions can get you out of any circumstance, listen now. They have taken the place of Christ. There was a spot in the inn designated in my mind for Mary, and Joseph, and Christ. But something was in that spot. In your life, there's a spot designated for Christ. And there's something in that spot. Stuff. He went away sorrowful. Hey, come follow me. Amen. Sorry. I have too much ambition. You don't understand the potential that I have. I'm going to be a ruler. I'm going to be in charge. For me to follow you, I'm going to have to give up all my stuff. I'm sorry. There's no room here for you. Have we told the Lord? I'm sorry. There's no room here because of my stuff. Has something taken the place of where Christ should be? Lastly, probably the most difficult. Number one, we saw the ignorance. They just didn't know. They didn't know who was knocking that day. They didn't know who was looking for that room. And people today, hey, you can't say that anymore. It's the Lord looking to come into your heart. Number two, maybe you've been deceived and lied to. And the truth of the Word of God can fix all that. Number three, maybe you've allowed things to take the place where Christ should be. Looked at information, we've looked at lies, we've looked at things. Next, we'll look at a person. The place that Christ should take, is there a person in that place instead of Christ? Say, who would? I mean, when they went to the inn, there was no vacancy. Why? Because somebody was in room whatever. Is there somebody in a room where Christ should be? Say, who would do that? You. Galatians chapter number 6. One of the most difficult things to overcome is our own personal pride. Galatians chapter number 6. In verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Christ knocking at your heart's door. Any room for me in there? No, I'm sorry. I'm the king of my own life. I'm the Lord of my own destiny. I'm sorry, there's no room for you because somebody is seated on the throne where Christ should be. And that person is you. That person is you. 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, verse 15. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. One of the greatest dangers that could ever darken the doorstep of our hearts is our own personal pride. We saw it trickling into some of those other areas of where we just don't need Christ. But oftentimes we take the spot where Christ should be and we place ourselves there. What do I want? What pleases me? Many of people this holiday Christmas season were much like the innkeeper and said, I'm sorry, there's no room for Jesus here. What happens if the roles were reversed? There outside of the inn, Christ is the keeper and the maker of the inn, with 7.8 billion people on the other side of the door, knocking and saying, is there room? There's always room for us at the feet of Christ. The sinless child always welcomes the sinful man. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we'll look at two more verses. The Bible says in verse 21, look there, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Unlike man who pushes Christ away, when we come to Christ, he says, come on in. There's always room. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ, the sinless one, welcomes the sinner in. Come on in. I've got a spot. I've not just got a room in the inn. The Bible said in John chapter 14, I've got a mansion for you. I don't deserve that. Hey, let's just again recap. Here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is looking just for a room inside the inn. I'm sorry, there's no room. Then you and I, the dirtiest and most vilest sinners, knock at the heart of the Holy One's heart. And he says, come on in and look at what I have for you. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll be done. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse 4. Look at verse 4. The first word is what? Who? Who is who? Who is the who? It's God. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for most, for some, for the elect. That's who he died for. Just the elect. No. You mark off that word, you circle it, you underline it, you highlight it, you put arrows at it. Because every single person that knocks at that inn door where Christ is the keeper, he says, come on in. For all to be testified in due time. When he died on that cross, he died for all. There's always room for us with Christ. Unfortunately, many people have no room for Jesus. After salvation, there's some of those times when we maybe believe our own lies, allow things to take place of where Christ should be. Maybe even we place ourselves in a position where Christ should be. Hey, if you're here this morning and you've kept closing the door when Christ has knocked, would today be the day that you allow him in? Would today be the day where you humble yourself and say, you know what, there's something in his room that he should be. I'm tired of living the lie. I'm tired of letting things, I'm tired of letting a person be in the place where Christ should be. Would you allow Christ to come into your heart today? Hey, Christian, since being saved, has something taken the place that Christ can only fill? Let's all stand. No room for Christ. What a sad thing that day in Luke chapter number 2. Now God worked his perfect work, and we can read through that, which we will. But today, in a moment, the music's going to play. I want to let you know before service, Brother Rice and I, we were praying. We were praying that maybe today someone would put their faith and trust in Christ. Maybe before service, gentlemen came forward and were praying. Maybe you prayed, God, if there was someone here today that has repeatedly closed the door to Christ when he was knocking at their heart, would you humble yourself today and come to Christ? Would you allow someone from the scriptures say, Pastor, you make me nervous. I'll pair you up with somebody else. Ladies, we have a lady that would love to share with you the gospel, the truth of the scriptures. Yeah, but my church teaches. Yeah, but what does God say? There are many prophets out there, but there's only one truth. There is only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If in any time salvation is expressed through works, I'm sorry, you've been deceived. If you're here today, and sometime throughout your life, a place that was reserved for Christ, somebody else is in that room. Why don't you come get that right? Again, if you're not saved here today, I invite you. If you're watching online, reach out to me, please. I mean it. I mean it when I say it. It'd be an honor and privilege to share with you what it means to be a Christian. No work, but faith. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. If someone here today isn't saved, I pray that they would come. They would come and kneel at this old-fashioned altar and invite you into their heart, repenting of their sin, calling on you to save them from the very consequence of their sin, eternal hellfire, and receiving that free gift of salvation. May today be that day. Lord, if we as Christians have allowed anything to take the room that you ought to possess, Lord, help us. Help us. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?